Okay, so I wrote this really amazing sermon for today, and then I heard that there would only be like 25 people here, and it would be all children, and had to be really short, and so I had to rethink everything, and it's not amazing anymore, but are you ready? Yeah, I know. So I had to rethink everything. I want to talk to you about this other Christmas story from the book of John. Let me pray first. Father, thank you for the light that came into the world in Jesus. Thank you for our children, and that you have given the light to your children. And I thank you for the word made flesh that tabernacled among us. And I thank you that you, even now, are king over the world and making all things right. Lord, we know that we live in darkness, but that you are light, and that we can take that light. Father, for these few minutes, would you help us to hear what you have to say to your church? To open our ears, use my words in ways way better than anything I prepared for, because your spirit goes out to your people today. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so you know what it's like to be in the dark, right? All of you have been in the dark before. This is supposed to be real casual. Yep, been in the dark before. Good. Anyone ever been afraid of the dark? Yeah. Okay, so I had this house when I was growing up. I was a preteen, and the basement was this wonderful place to go during the day. Really wonderful. It was great for playing and stuff like that. But because I was cool and I was growing up and I had other brothers and sisters, I got that other spot, you know, that room down in the basement at night. And I'm not quite a man, but I'm not quite a child. You know, you're in that middle range. You know, you're like, yeah, and so I'm going down. Every night I'd go down there, and I want to just go right to my room, turn off the lights, and go to sleep, but I just couldn't. And so I wander through the basement, the whole basement. We got boxes and different places, and I'm going behind the box. I got to make sure there's no one in this basement, okay? And I know it's a little bit strange, but, you know, like, I'd open up the dryer, you know, like, okay, you know, open the shower curtain, anywhere I'm looking behind, anything I'm doing. And the worst place was this door that went outside. Of course, there's a door that went upstairs, but there's a door that goes outside so you could get out. And it's dark out there, of course, and I'm light in here, and so I'd have to turn off the lights in the basement, and then I'd just stand right next to the window, and I get ready to turn that light on, and just, I know there's going to be someone just standing right there, staring, just, there never was, of course, but this is the fear of going down. You guys have these kinds of fears, somewhat irrational maybe, but they're based on, well, you've seen a lot of movies, it could happen, right? And just these monsters that live under the bed, or these monsters that come out of the closet, these shadows, these shapes of certain things that are just creepy. When you're children, that's the way it is. And it's not just children, is it? Yeah, you adults are thinking, yeah, I got one of those basements right now. I'm not going down there. Like, there's a lot of fear going into the dark. We don't know what's there. We're not exactly sure. I was with Davin, your youth leader. We were in Colorado just a few weeks ago, and it was late at night, and we were out with friends, and one of the ladies said, hey, are you at this hotel? I need to walk home through the streets of Denver. I don't want to do that on my own. And I know some of you won't come here in the evenings because you don't want to go to your car at night. And 2nd Street, it's just not an option. I'm not walking all the way there, those 3 minutes in the dark with these people around. Who knows what's around? We have this constant fear. And some of us, you know, we don't want to watch certain movies or anything like that. Let's not even talk about the actual literal dark. Right? There's darkness all over, the divisiveness and the hatred, the animosity, even just in American politics and culture right now. We really despise the other. There's a darkness there. Overall crime in the United States is up 4.5% over last year. Just think about the different things that have happened. Buffalo, New York, Uvalde, Texas, Boulder, Colorado. Over the last few years, I can't breathe. Over 6,000 dead in Ukraine. 55 plus years of Palestinian displacement. Let's not even bring up Armenia, Cambodia, Rwanda. Homelessness. Divisiveness. breathlessness and darkness.
Yay, it's a Christmas morning service. Hey, aren't you so glad that you're here?
I was thinking, yeah, I could just make this light and we could just talk about the baby in the manger. And as I was thinking through John and this light and darkness theme that we've been doing through Isaiah, I was just thinking, so many of you I've talked to you're looking forward to Christmas. Of course you're looking forward to Christmas, but there's darkness. There's hurt. But we have light. You guys have your candles. All right, so everyone get their candles ready? All right, so we're gonna use this. So you don't have candles right now. You got a phone? Okay, just think, pretend you're at a Def Leppard concert. Go ahead and pull up that. What? Uh-oh. There we go. Okay, are you guys ready? Okay, we just hold this up there. Okay, but you gotta turn it off now. You gotta get ready for this. I'm gonna tell you when to do this. I'm gonna tell you this story. A long time ago, there was darkness. This chaotic mess of water and darkness and sand just flowing all around this just disgusting God's coming children. He says, I want to make my children and I want to give them a place to live and I'm going to give them the spot. And the problem is that they wouldn't be able to breathe and they would be living in darkness and they wouldn't have a home. They'd be missing out on all of these things. And so he said, I've got to do something to try to get rid of this chaotic mess. This is all in Genesis 1 verse 2. The only way they can describe it is to talk about this abyss, this dark pit kind of thing, this sea that covers everything. They call it in Hebrew tohu vabohu, a chaotic mess. And he wants to make this place where his people can dwell, but the darkness is there until he speaks. So we hear the first dabar, the dabarim, plural, the dabar, the word of God. And he says, yehi or, let there be. There you go. You got it. Bring it up. Yep, there it is. Let there be light. And there was light. And God rolls back the darkness and the chaos monsters because he wants his children to be somewhere. He wants them to have this. And yet his children are strangely enamored by the darkness. Weird, isn't it? He gives them all these things, and they are enamored by the darkness. And then this story, this grand narrative we call meta-narrative that goes through all of Scripture is just telling the story of his children and their relationship to the darkness. And there's always light. There's always light. But it's always darkness is coming in too. He says, children, hear this. Children, I'll take care of you in the dark. I'll pierce the darkness with my light. Let there be light. He's constantly saying that. From the darkness, good job. You guys, give me a second. I'll be there. There with the lights. I ready for the lights any second. Okay, there's always light. Whenever I say light, yeah, that's your cue. Okay, so the darkness of the children in slavery, remember? Going through the wilderness, this misery, and then the light that led them, right? In the darkness, this fire by night, and the fire on the top of the mountain, and the fires that are put into the tabernacle, so that that we get the understanding of the Spirit moving in the light. The Spirit is moving in the darkness. He is the light, and there's an unwillingness on God's part to let the darkness win. And then we move all the way through history. So there's this exile in Egypt. And then there's this exile in another foreign land, Babylon, Assyria, this whole mess that is there. And then there is light. Every moment feeling like darkness and homelessness and breathlessness. And then this revelation of the eyes of God blazing in Daniel 10. And in Isaiah, it continues. The children walking in darkness, living in a dark land, have seen a great light. Right, this constant, the light shining on them. The darkness of blindness, dungeons, prisons. Someone is appointed to as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations in Isaiah 42. There you go, three of you got it, good. Light to the nations. A promise for those true children who bear his name. Malachi tells us that the Son of Righteousness, that's kind of a light, yeah. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings to the seven lights that represent the eyes of the Lord in Zechariah. And then a star, that leads the Magi to the light of the world. And shepherds, wait, shepherds is not light, that's not, shepherds and the angels shining, talking about the light who has come. And Simeon holds this child up, remember this, and says, a light to the nations, a light to the nations. And then we get to John. The book of John doesn't have a birth story. You've already heard it this morning. I'm not going to read it to you again, but if you want to look at it, you can. There's no birth story in John. There's no manger. There's no angels. There's no animals. There's no wise men. There's no shepherds. There's no fun. There's no narrative, it seems like. Instead, John starts over. He starts the whole thing over. He says he wants to take us back to this time where there was no creation, there was no humanity, there was no angels, there was no animals, a time of darkness and tohu vabohu, that chaotic mess of Genesis 1-2, where no one can live, where there's just homelessness and breathlessness and darkness. And then he says how he starts off his book, you see it in John 1, in the beginning. Bereshit bara, in the beginning. And so we know where he's going because we know Genesis 1, in the beginning. We know what this is going to be. We know what we're expecting, these next words, right? We know his first dabar, the first word he's going to speak is going to be Yahi Or, let there be light. But it's not. In fact, we know many of the other words throughout history, the many other words that God will speak, the Debarim. There are 10 words in the creation story, the 10 Debarim. And then there are 10 words that are given to us in Exodus. We call them commands. It's just the word Debarim, the commands, the words, God's words. And then he sends prophets into the darkness to give multiple sets of words over and over again to remind them that God is piercing the darkness, that I know it feels hopeless, but in God there will be light, right? This is what the whole hope is. Every prophet speaks into the darkness and the divisiveness and the homelessness and the breathlessness. And so John says, in the beginning, and takes us back to that beginning spot. And then instead of continuing with God, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, he says, in the beginning was the Word. No lights. What? Come on. It was the Word. What is this Word? This Word that, do you remember the Word? The first dabar that God spoke, let there be light. The Word of God is going out. But what's also happening, though, not only are they referring back to this Genesis thing, in this Greco culture, Greco-Roman culture, they would have understood this word, which is no longer dabar in Hebrew, it's logos in Greek. Okay, you following this? This is a tough Christmas morning casual Sunday, isn't it? Okay, this logos, they've been tracking this logos for decades, for centuries, for millennia. They've been trying to figure out, how are all things held together? This is the Greek mindset. What's going on? And so they thought, okay, well, there's different elements, wind and fire and land and water. Remember all that stuff? They thought, okay, maybe that's the way it works. What they're looking for is why do things work the way they work? When the rain comes down and it mixes with the sand, apparently frogs come out. Those kinds of things. Like, how do these things mix? All these things must come together. What binds everything together? And they called it the apeiron. That which binds all things together, that which holds all things, that which created all things. What is this that they were looking for? And as time continues, that apeiron shifts and it's called the logos. They're looking for this logos. What is this thing that brings everything together, that pulls us all in? And so he says in this one beautiful set of words, in the beginning was the Word, the logos, not the light. Nope, not the light yet. He tells us of this new creation, a new light. This is where he's going, but not new. This one who is there is one who is actually God himself, who's in the beginning with God, one who has brought all things into being and without whom nothing came into being at all. Like this, he's the one. It was through him that life came. It was through him that there was light, and it shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not prevail. Yep, can't prevail. The darkness of exile and homelessness and divisiveness and breathlessness has been shot through. The light of the world had come. And John wasn't the light. He wasn't the light. He was just a prophet who was called to bring the Devarim, the words of the Lord. I'm going to bring forth the word about the light that is coming. But there is a light, right? There is a light. A light that enlightens everyone. Not that everyone understood it or accepted it, but those who embraced the light, they would be called, interestingly, the children of God. He had originally made this place for his children. He says, if you embrace this light, you will be called the children of God, cared for by the light, cared for by the word made flesh that tabernacled among us. For all of John's cosmic Christ language, and he's got a lot of it, this Jesus was actually born, tabernacled, or dwelt among us, to remind you that he's in the tabernacle, the lights that are in the tabernacle, the presence of the great Aperon, of the Logos, that which holds all things together, who refuses the divisiveness and gives sanctuary to the homeless, and who breathes into the breathless, overwhelms the darkness. He dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the radiant light of his glory piercing the darkness. What I've done is I've just walked through John 1 with you. There's the story of a man who lost everything, lost all his finances, and I won't even tell you about health and other things. Just, it was a mess, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And his pastor checked in on him. He just wanted to find out how he was doing. And the man was not just surviving, but thriving. And the pastor just did not understand. What's happening? How is there joy? How can you be in this situation? He says, Pastor, I'll tell you, but I really want to show you. Sometime, you know, just when you're in the neighborhood, you stop by my house and I'll show you. And the pastor, of course, okay, you know, that's fine. And so he went back to doing whatever he was doing. But he was there that week. He's like, I just happened to be in the neighborhood. He wanted to know, like, what's happening? He says, yeah, come on in. He brings his pastor in and he shows them this big painting. It's a picture of Daniel in the lion's den. And the lions are menacing around him and all these things. And there's a light that is shining through that hole in the top of the pit. Just shine, shh, just this beautiful light. And he's looking at this picture. And he said, I don't see. He says, Pastor, look at Daniel's eyes. And he looks at his eyes. And his eyes weren't on all the things around him. His eyes were looking up at the light. See, he knew where to look. And so he was able to have this joy. My guess is that this year there's been darkness. Some of you have lost things, lost people, lost that feeling of home, lost that feeling of unity, maybe even begun to lose some hope. And that darkness can be stifling. But there is light, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So today, my guess is your children, grandchildren, they're going to be playing with all these light-up toys and these awesome things. There's going to be lights on the tree, and there's going to be an Advent wreath for you super Christians, and there's lights on the lasers, woo, whatever the different things that you're doing, and glow-in-the-dark toys, and of course, Uncle Bob is going to have some UFO conspiracies that you don't want to talk about, and Grandma's going to say that thing is really kind of racist, but whatever, and someone's going to rant about Trump or Biden or something like that. I want you to stop and remember the light that comes at Christmas. When you drive tonight, you see the icicles hanging from people's houses, the light-up ones. Remember the light that pierces the darkness, the one who came for God's children everywhere. When you walk back into your house in just a few minutes, that tree is going to be lit, I'm guessing. You're going to see it. He's got me with the lights. Good job. Every time. You're going to see that Christmas tree, and the Christmas star is going to be up there. I want you to remind yourself of those wise men who came to adore the light, the ones who came as children of God. When you see the lights and you hear the noises of that darn light-up piano that's being played for the 31st time and you wish you hadn't ever bought it, remember he who is radiant and glorious. We have seen his glory, Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Psalm 36 says, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." We children, there you go. Go ahead. We see light. We children need to see light this Christmas. Enjoy the lasers and the light up whatever, LED screens and whatever, but just remember what they're all supposed to be pointing to. No more refugees. Home. No more divisiveness. Unity. No more breathlessness, except for, as Mike says, when he takes our breath away. But this is the one who breathes life into all men. No more darkness. Light. Light. Merry Christmas. Let's sing Joy to the World.